Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you feel like his presence, just making his return, kind of uplifted the team? I know they had a little extra time off and rest as well.
Yeah, I think more of the guys are just happy for him. And they know he's wanted to be a part of this. It's been a crazy story on him delaying to be a part of it. And he's worked to get here. And I know the guys are just excited for him and ready to support him, help him come along.
After Bosa and Leonard Floyd, you know, your depth, and those guys have potential, you know, after them, but they really haven't done it at the NFL level and aren't proven. How do you feel about that? Is that something you think might need to be addressed, you know, before a trade deadline?
I might feel good about that. I mean, it's, you always want, you'd love to have four Pro Bowlers just in there, but I think that's the reality of most teams. I think it's very rare to have a situation that is better than that. It did hurt. We have big plans for Etor, so him going on IR hurt, but we hope to get him back later this year. So, we have some possible guys on the horizon coming back too.
How much Super Bowl film are you watching versus what they put on tape this year?
You stick with the five games they've done this year, and you go back to our last game with them. So you also go to previous games of us versus them. When coordinators don't change, the scheme doesn't change, you tie in all those games.
How do you characterize going up against a Spagnuolo defense? Has it been about a similar feel to going up against his defenses over the last few games?
I think it's gotten better and better each year. I thought last year was the best defense that we played all year, and I feel that way this year so far. So they got guys who've been playing a long time together. They've been doing his scheme for a while. He's been doing a scheme for so long, but they continue to add to it. They continue to fine-tune it, and I got a lot of respect for him and his scheme.
You guys have had a lot of success game planning for Aaron Donald over the years. I know there are exceptions to this, but usually he has quiet games against you. Why don't you think you have the same success against Chris Jones? What's the difference there?
There's just different variables they do with their stuff. It's sometimes a little bit harder to eliminate him, where he goes, and just some of the pressures they do. But he definitely deserves that attention. He's as good as player there is, and we try our hardest to take him out, but he makes that pretty hard.
What are the hallmarks of an Andy Reid scheme or an Andy Reid offense?
I think it features around their quarterback, obviously. Puts them in a great position to make a ton of plays, and he has a guy who can make a ton of plays. They always dabble in all screens, RPOs. You always got to be ready for new plays, one that you haven't seen. And always enjoyed watching Andy since he was back in Philly, and he continues to evolve also.
On their defense, they're so man-heavy against you guys in the Super Bowl. You've seen a lot of man this year, maybe more than in recent years. Is that a coincidence, or do you sense maybe teams are kind of trying to follow some sort of a blueprint?
I think some games we have, some we haven't. Last game I didn't see it that way, but, they did more in the Super Bowl than they had in the past. And I think in the past they were like 20% man, and they went up to 35% in the Super Bowl. And that's about where they are this year. Last year going into that game, they play more press and stuff than anyone in the league all of last year, and they're still doing that this year too. So, when you're in crucial situations, especially the fourth quarter, they blitz more than anyone in the league last year, and that's true this year too. So usually when that's the case, you see man. So it goes with their scheme, and they definitely did a little bit more last year too.
Kittle kind of mentioned that last week ahead of the Seahawks battle, you said it wasn't a must-win, but it kind of is a must-win. Is the conversation going into this one, given the history between you guys and Kansas City, and then the ability to kind of put the rest of the league on notice with a win, is that the same type of conversation you're having with the guys?
I try to have the same conversation every week. I just word it a little differently. But I never want to say the words must-win until if we don't win, we're eliminated from the playoffs. So that's the only time it's a true must win. But my words were last week that I'll never say it's a must win until it's that situation, but it damn sure feels like one. And I think that had to do with just losing two tight games in our division, being 0-2 in our division, going against a divisional opponent. I see this game like I see all games. I feel like they're all as, every game matters huge, but I didn't choose those words this week.
You brought in another kicker, I assume is insurance for Wright, whether he can go or not. And Carlson's not really historically a deep kickoff guy either. Would you ever consider bringing in a guy, at least for a while, just to kick off and then have a place kicker do the place kicker, or you just don't want to use two spots for that?
I mean, I'd love to. You just got to see what position you want to go short at. So, I mean, that could always be a possibility. But, you know, that does take a toll on the roster big time. If you ever had one injury at the wrong spot, that would be a big regret. But that is an interesting decision, but probably something we won't do.
Number say Patrick Mahomes having a down season by his standards. What are you seeing from him in particular?
I mean, I think everyone says down year just because their numbers aren't just crazy. But, I mean, Pat's as good as it gets. He's been as good as it gets since the first year that he got to play. You know, all their games, I think, except for one, have come down to the last possession, and he's as good as anyone in that last possession. You know, their running numbers aren't quite what they were last year. Their red zone isn't real high. So I think that equates to numbers. But Pat is Pat, and he's as good as it gets, and I don't see that changing at all.
Kyle, Brock was the number one quarterback in the league this year and last year on the play action. But I noticed that the play action percentage this year is down. Is there any reason for that you guys haven't run as many play action passes this year?
No, we try to run what we think looks good on tape, and it kind of just depends on how people are playing us. And sometimes we think it looks really good. Sometimes we think it's not so good. So it's not like we don't just do things every week because we do it. I think it's just been just a matter of how the schedule's played out.
How do you feel like your receivers have done against man coverage this season?
I thought they've done some good stuff. I'm sure you guys have analytics on that I want to be well aware of. But, you know, I'm always trying to improve in everything. But, you know, I think we've won some and we've lost some, as usual.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, the Chiefs are specifically a team you guys have not succeeded against recently and obviously in two huge games. I know as a coach, you can't all the time make one bigger than the other. But do you feel that a little bit? Like, you had some fairly large losses against this team.
Yeah, I think everyone understands that we've lost the two Super Bowls to them. So, I mean, that can give a little post-traumatic stress when you turn on the tape, but I think that's human nature. But you got to make sure you don't get caught up in that. And, you know, this game has nothing to do with past games. That was last year. We're playing a really good AFC opponent. We're 500 right now. We want to stay atop of our division and get a win. You think about that stuff going into it, but in terms of what it plays out in a game, it really has no correlation, and you try to make sure that it doesn't.
I'm sure when you lose a game in Super Bowl in overtime, there are plenty of plays you're like, oh crap, if only. But that fourth and one, you know, you get a defensive stop and the game is over. I don't know. That up there as far as plays, you're like, man, that hurts.
Not necessarily. I mean, fourth and one, it's, you know, it's 50-50, you know. So, I mean, there's other plays that are worse, but we can go through a lot of them. But that's not, I mean, that's your opportunity. You know, you got to stop for 1 yard and then it's over. And, you know, you're Super Bowl champ. So it's hard when it comes to that. But I think there was a number of other plays in that game that were just as important.
That guy, my expert opinion, a well-designed play. I mean, was there something that could have been done? Was there anything, like, quote-unquote, wrong with the defense there, or do you just kind of tip your cap and say, hey, you got us?
No, I mean, it's hard to defend everything. I mean, fourth and one is one of the tougher spots in football. I mean, you want to start out with sneaks. You got to defend the edges. You got to defend the dive. You know, you play tight man coverage. You got to defend every rollout pick play. And then when you call a play like that, you got to do 11 on 11 and defend the quarterback. So you can't defend every play, and they got us in a good situation where they ran their quarterback and we had one guy on them, had a chance to stop it, but it's not an easy one to stop.
How did Carlson do on his kickoffs during his tryout?
I don't go out to his tryout, so good enough to sign him.
Is that a concern, though? I mean, these guys coming in, not being able to...
Everything's a concern. I mean, especially when guys are available. You know, if there were zero concerns, you know, I think guys would be somewhere right now. So you look into all that and you try to make the best option. And that our guy last week did a hell of a job coming in, being 3 for 3. There's a lot of kickoffs we would wish would have gone in to the end zone. You know, we had that with Robbie towards the end of his career. You know, he was automatic kicker, but didn't always get it out there. You know, we've tried it with Mitch, so that's stuff you always want, but it's not guaranteed, especially as the year gets going and it gets colder. That's why we got to get better kickoff coverage as it goes also.
Of all the one-on-one matchups this game can have, do you get time to appreciate a Fred Warner going against Travis Kelce?
I don't really get time to appreciate it, but it's one that I'm glad that we got Fred Warner, because Kelce is as good as it gets also, and so we got to have one that's as good as it gets to match up, and that's a hell of a competition between those two.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.